T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number 2. We're live from the bar. It's appropriate to say that when Christmas sits down here on a Monday. Hope you're doing well, bud.
I'm doing excellent, thank you.
So when's Big Ten get started with talking days?
Big Ten gets started here shortly.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be – Big Ten's going to have an interesting year. There's some good teams that besides my Buckeyes.
Yeah, the Big Ten East, the rest of it. We will, maybe Nebraska will be okay. But SEC began today in Hoover, guys. And here is the breakdown of the schedule. Right now is Dan Mullen, who admitted earlier that he is a Boston Red Sox fan. So in this day and age, you're a fool. That's like talking politics up on stage. You know, now every New York Yankees fan heard – Dan Mullen hates the New York Yankees. You know what I mean? That's not – he didn't say he's a fan of the Red Sox. Those other fans heard, yeah, I hate my team. Right. You know what I mean? But Dan Mullen, Ed Orgeron went this morning. Did y'all see the great video of him this past weekend?
No.
He was chasing one of his kids on the beach.
Oh,
wham! Face plant right into
nice.
The sand. Now, somebody wasn't doing their job. They were filming that, but they should have gotten a little tighter where he could have gone up and gone, I just have to say how. Go, Tigers, with a face full of sand. You know what I mean?
He's extremely
also,
red.
Also, Barry Odom went today. And Kelly Bryant, listen, he's there in his first year representing the University of Missouri at quarterback and will be the starting quarterback this year. Does he get any more credibility than other players for going, you guys got it all wrong, that the ACC is not as bad as y'all want to make it out to be, having played quarterback there in the league? And he just said, you know, believe it or not, they tackle, they hit, they're men playing in the ACC just like it. And, of course, everybody kind of want – because Clemson on day number one at SEC Media Days was a huge topic of conversation and will be all week long. All right, going tomorrow – Kirby Smart from Georgia, Luke from Ole Miss, Jeremy Pruitt from Tennessee, and Jimbo Fisher from A&M. Your four coaches going Wednesday: Nick Saban, Chad Morris from Arkansas, Joe Moorhead from Mississippi State, Will Muschamp from South Carolina on Wednesday. And then finally Thursday, your final three: Gus Malzahn, Mark Stoops from Kentucky, and Derek Mason from Vanderbilt. The three players that are representing South Carolina are all seniors. Quarterback Jake Bentley, linebacker T.J. Brunson, wide receiver Brian Edwards. And, guys, is it about the quarterback or what? We mentioned Jake Bentley's there. Kelly Bryant, Tua Tagovailoa, Felipe Franks from Florida, Jake Fromm from Georgia, Joe Burrow from LSU, Matt Corral from Ole Miss, Jarrett Garantano from Tennessee, and Kellen Mond from A&M. It's like 10 of 14 schools bringing a quarterback to the SEC Media Days.
Well, I mean, quarterback's obviously the premier position when you're playing in football. So I would, you know, obviously if I was the coach or the AD, who do you want the face of your franchise or your organization to be? And that's the quarterback, because that's whose name gets called on basically every offensive play.
Tyler, I guess what I was thinking of is simply in the fact that much like the ACC felt last year with Ryan Finley and Daniel Jones. And some of these guys, SEC's feeling like they're in pretty good shape this year when it comes to their quarterback situation as well.
Yeah, and it seemed like that was the slack against the SEC a couple of years back, even last year, that they went to the Premier League for quarterback. So why not put them out on the forefront, let them know we're here too?
Do you realize things are cyclical? You know, one year when you go, wow, what a deep pool of quarterbacks in this league, what's likely to be said the next season?
What a deep defensive.
Or what an inexperienced pool, right. Or what a weak pool. Right. So these things go up and go down, and we throw darts at it like there's some absolute, you know what I mean? And, when it comes to this. So, what are a few of the things that you think are going on there this year? Now, number one, and I mean this, I'm a Bama guy, and I fully expect to have to face him again this year. But should Clemson potentially get a little bit of a rent check paid to them here by Friday for the amount of time that they're going to be discussed this week at SEC Football Media Days?
I mean, these guys are getting more press than they can ever pay for with advertising. I mean, and it's not just this year. It's basically been the past 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ever since they made their ascension up into be a championship caliber team, that's all you hear about. Clemson, Clemson, Clemson. 5 years ago,
it was Bama.
No one knew who Clemson was.
Exactly, and that's my thing. Now you got them set up. Jimbo Fisher, they're taking them on here in Clemson week number two. We mentioned on Friday, Dabo Sweeney or Nick Saban will ultimately be asked, has Clemson caught y'all or might even surpass y'all after last year? Or what's one topic of conversation that comes up every single year during media days? Conference expansion. Why? Well, it's the rest of the country tired of seeing Clemson and Alabama. So that's my point, is Clemson will be several hundred miles away. They don't go till Wednesday. That's when Dabo Sweeney and the Atlantic Division go. But they are going to be a huge topic of conversation down there, because I'll tell you this much, I think we had this conversation this weekend with some friends of mine that I went to school with. There are a lot of people out there with SEC belt buckles on. Who is it? Wallowitz from the that has like 100 different
Big
belt
Bang.
Buckles, right? From the Big Bang Theory. There are a lot of guys out there with SEC logo on their belt buckles taking shots at Clemson about playing in a weak league and schedule, but it doesn't really seem to be coming from the Bama people. You know what I mean? It's come from the other SEC schools. And to me, that bullet's just kind of dull. That knife blade is a little bit dull. You know what I mean? Because I know what I witnessed back in January, and that's the end of the story. Hope we get the chance to turn the favor.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been that the ACC has their strength of schedule is not as good as the SEC or the Big Ten or the Pac-12. I mean, look at some of the teams that are in there outside of Clemson, right?
Right.
So, I mean, Boston College is okay.
Keep going.
South Carolina's okay.
Well, that's SEC.
Well, SEC, right.
No, go back to the ACC. You're headed where I'm leading. you in the right direction. Boston College, all right? Smaller school, private school.
Right.
All right, Syracuse. Juice. What's the issue with Syracuse?
Private school.
6,000 students, private school.
Right.
What's the issue with
basketball school, not known as a football. When McNabb was there, it was a different story. But
and they're coming back now with Dino Babers.
Right. But since then, they've been a basketball school.
Keep going down the line here. Let's just keep going. Duke.
Yep. Duke.
Small
all basketball.
School. Wake Forest. Private school, University of Miami, even though they cheated like crazy to get their U image back in the day. University of Miami, private school. There's five. There's not another Power Five conference that deals with more than one private school in their league. And there's five right there, and you could literally throw Georgia Tech in the mix since you have to take calculus as a student there, and that limits the pool in which they can recruit from.
You can throw the Big East in there as well. There's a ton of private.
Power Five.
Oh, Power
football.
Five. Oh, okay.
So my point being, you can't have your cake and eat it too by making this, they deal with things yet. Will you buy any numbers when they come back to you? I mean, when Chris Lowe with ESPN.com that covers the Southeastern Conference, he is from Rock Hill, South Carolina, went to Tennessee. When he comes up with the numbers that he did this weekend, is he biased? Is he a Clemson? Now you say anything good, you're a Clemson homer. You know, it's like I said, I know Yankees fans today are now looking at Dan Mullen going, oh, you admit that you're a Red Sox fan? Why don't you say that you what you really meant to say? You hate my Yankees.
Right.
You know, because we say all the time on these shows, go ahead, get it right. We hate your school, and we pull for your rival just to make you mad.
I do it with that team up north every time. When that team up north for everyone else is Michigan.
Now, see, I thought you were going USSR. No, I know. It's horrible. It's always the USSR.
But I root against them every week. I want to see them lose every week.
Right, but my point being is you can't give a compliment to anybody these days without somebody else being offended by it, or you can't direct any criticism toward anybody, and by that I mean I'm just telling the truth. There's a difference between criticism and trolling, all right?
Right.
But what kills me is if you look at Clemson, they're clearly the best team
right.
in college football.
Recruiting.
Throughout the season, yeah. They're
top-notch.
Light years ahead of everyone else in the ACC as
well,
far as
guess
recruiting.
What? We now have some numbers to prove it. How many coaches do you think are on the plus side of 500 when it comes to the last 3 years of facing top 25 opponents? I mean, opponents that finished the football season ranked in the top 25. How many coaches for the last 3 years do you think have a winning percentage, a winning record?
Three.
You are exactly correct. You're exactly correct. And one of them is just one game over 500. So when we come back, we'll start giving you these numbers as well. We'll take a look at some other things storyline-wise from the SEC Media Days. Plus, we'll take your phone calls if you want to get in. I know you're over on the SEC Network checking it out. It is the first day of college football season. But bring it to us. Who's the sleeper in your particular conference, and why do you think that is the case? We'll get into that. We'll take a look at the ACC. That begins on Wednesday. Don't forget, Mark Ryan and Lonzo will be live at the Westin in downtown Charlotte from 1 to 4 p.m. on Wednesday for ACC Media Days. Also, a week from Thursday, I'll be live at Wofford College. It is the kickoff of Carolina Panthers training camp. But, of course, you have us on 97.7 FM here in Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 1330 AM down toward Clemson. But bring it to us straight up, 844-GSP, ESPN. These numbers in college football are absolutely shocking.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's right. I don't care if Mark Ryan ended up kind of calling me a get off my lawn type of moment, because I'm getting off everybody's lawn here in about an hour and 40 minutes. But, yeah, he says that stud it talks about my blog on ESPN Upstate. He says, few who don't play well in the summer league make it in the NBA. It's a fun first look at potential surprises and busts from every recent NBA draft. At Sturgis Sports doesn't see it that way and wants the NBA off his summer lawn. Heck yeah, I do. We began football season today. We don't need those guys anymore. Go away. It's like a crazy ex-girlfriend back in the day, Chris, that you knew you needed to leave alone for a while. Go see her. Did not go. That's the way I feel about the NBA at this point. Get off of my lawn. I'll admit it.
I 100% agree. First of all, I find the summer league pointless.
The Jets have a chance with Le'Veon Bell this year. All right,
yeah.
Here's the thing. When it comes to New York right now, the Mets are the dysfunctional one, and they have no chance when it comes to the Braves. But listen, here's the deal. As I called it in the article, Diesel and Chris. It's nothing more than early December bowl games in Frisco, Texas, where 8,000 people show up. And you go, why the hell are they playing this game? It's about filling 4 hours of television time. The NBA has figured this thing out, market it, make ourselves viable, set up two arenas. You hire two crews because there's so many people out in Las Vegas that are capable of working between shows and this and that and the other. You have two crews. Boom. Very little overhead when it comes to running this operation for ESPN with Summer League. I get it. My only problem is the downfall. If you're not out of people's eyes for a little bit, the casual fan may go, I've had enough.
Right. I would rather watch, instead of the NBA Summer League, what's it called? The Big Three? Is that the Big Three ball?
You know what? I agree with you.
I'd rather watch
really
that.
Entertaining.
Yeah. I'd rather watch the three-on-three with all these ex-NBA players and these.
I do like
that. Yeah.
What boxer got just absolutely destroyed the other night in that?
Mayweather. Well, yeah. It wasn't the three-on-three. It was a celebrity.
Yeah,
I don't
it was
know, but my point is I kind of chuckled and went, was he? They would never say that to his face.
Yeah. Who owns that league?
Ice Cube.
It's that, yeah, Ice Cube.
All right.
I'd rather watch that.
So, all right, Clemson, they are obviously going to be a topic here at SEC Media Days, and probably more so Wednesday when it comes to Nick Saban because of this pedestal that you have to put Clemson and Alabama on. Also, Muschamp, what'd you see that got them, 35 points, you know what I mean? So Clemson's going to get some attention all week long, all right? Does this Chris Lowe from ESPN.com, first of all, there had to be that guy to go question him and say, really, I'm not buying it, where he went and actually had to do a correction to his numbers and give Clemson more credit than he actually did in the first place. You know what I mean? The dude's like, hey, believe in this crap, blah, blah, blah. He goes back, rechecks it, and he goes, you're right, I did Clemson a disservice. Their record's actually better than I give them credit for. So three coaches, Diesel. Three coaches have a winning record versus opponents in the last 3 years that finished in the final AP top 25. Obviously, guys, Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban are two of the three. Do not pause for too long. Real quickly, who's in third place on this list? Who is the third coach over the last
UCF?
3 years? Nope.
I don't even know the coach's name.
UCF. Romar. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
To win over 500?
Yeah, to be over 500 against opponents that finish in the AP top 25.
Lincoln Riley?
No. Riley is boom. Not even on.
Wow.
On here. Dang, all right.
Well. And it's not Urban because he's no longer a coach.
It's Brian Kelly.
What?
One game over 500 at 8-7.
I didn't even know Notre Dame played 500.
All right. Here we go. Tell me if they have rightfully obtained their loftiness or – I get it. I know people want to throw up in their mouth a little bit. I feel the same way when Tom Brady and the Patriots play in, 12 out of the last 18 Super Bowls or whatever it is. I get it. But this is when you realize that there are two schools that are outworking everybody. Dabo Swinney, in the last 3 years, his record against teams in the final AP top 25 poll, 14-1.
Yeah, elite.
Number two, Nick Saban, his record the last 3 years against teams that finished in the final AP top 25, 14-3.
I'd be interested to see what Urban's record was.
Well, you got that Google thing on
your
phone.
I know.
the third, we mentioned Brian Kelly, 8-7, one game over 500.
Wow.
It goes like this from here. Kirby Smart, 7-7. Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State's 500. He's 5-5. Clay Helton, who we give a lot of grief to, he's only one game under 500 at 6-7. I still say that Southern Cal should never be on the sub-500 side of this conversation. Mike Leach, 4-5. Chris Peterson, 4-5. Jimbo Fisher, 6-8. Paul Christ at Wisconsin, 5-7. James Franklin at Penn State, 5-7. Frost, 4-6. Malzahn, 6-10. Harbaugh, 5-9. Mullen, 3-8. David Shaw at Stanford, 3-8. Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State, 3-10. Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, 2-9. Gary Patterson, 2-9. So the guy comes out and he takes Chris Lowe to tax, going, no way, can't do it. He goes, his response was, you ask, I deliver. He had Dabo Swinney at 14-2. He says Swinney, 14-1, is 9-0 in regular season games the last 3 years versus teams finishing in the final AP Top 25 and 5-1 in ACC title games or college football playoff games. Nick Saban is 8-1 in regular season games, 6-2 in SEC title or college football playoff games.
Urban Meyer was 11-3.
Yep, so he would have been right there. Yeah. So, listen. There's that. Let's start looking down the list at some of these other SEC coaches, guys. Malzahn 6-10. That's 4 games over .500. He's played. Dabo Swinney's played 15 schools that have finished in the. So, does the record thing? Is that just subjective? I get it. It's not the murderer's row, but they've got numbers right here, Diesel. That are right up with their Nick Saban of mighty Alabama, all right? SEC football, so much more powerful than everybody else. He's got 17 games versus the top 25 in the past 3 years, Diesel. Dabo Swinney has 15. This argument needs to stop. Deez? Sorry. But you?
So is it Clemson's fault that the ACC is not up to par with the SEC talent? Because it seems like when they're playing elite schools, they're still winning.
Right.
So how can you fault Clemson for that?
And most of those wins versus top 25 teams are playoff games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they get to the playoffs.
So you're playing two playoff games. So that's six teams right there in the top 25 in the last 3 years, right? So the thing on the ACC, the scheduling, is so what was his record? Sorry.
He was 14-1, 9-0 in regular season games, right, and 5-1 in ACC title games. Now, the bad thing, the negative thing is there's a couple of losses in there, like the Syracuse that finish unranked, you know right. what I mean. But, again, 15 – you can make numbers work however you want to, I guess is what I'm saying. But it's not like they've got six games – and everybody else has 15 or 16.
But if you take the ACC championship and you take the playoffs and you combine those games, that's 12 of those 15 games. Mm-hmm. That means in the regular season, they're only playing three teams that were ranked.
All right.
Strength of schedule.
That's what works for the Pac-12. That's 9 games for Mike Leach. Let's see. Jimbo Fisher, 14 games. Yeah, I'm going to it. Scott Frost, 10. So, again, listen, I get it, but everybody else gets 4 weeks off as well to prepare for the semifinals. So there's the yin and the yang of it. Let's get Gator Neil in. Gator Neil, I hope you're doing well, brother. I'm getting ready to head down to everywhere but Gatorland here in the rest of the week.
Gatorland's actually pretty cool, sir. I hope you're well as well.
I would love to go see Joe Dirt go challenge a alligator and with some of that stuff. No, the one thing we're not doing is an airboat ride, and that's one of the best trips out there.
That's a scary trip, to be honest with you. But listen, let me talk about these coaches.
Please.
You just kind of stole my thunder with you can make numbers however you want. It comes down to, like, advertising. With Coca-Cola, they could come out and they could poll 100 people that they know like Coke more than Pepsi, and they're going to poll those 100 people because only one of them is going to say they like Pepsi, and they do that on purpose. These numbers, these polls mean nothing. I mean, let's take Clemson, for example, and this is not a shot at Clemson. This is just as far as the numbers are construed a little bit. Just like, I mean, when you're playing a pancake schedule like Clemson plays, it is not that difficult when you have to play two games at the end of the year or one game at the beginning of the year against a really quality opponent, because unlike your opponent, let's say Alabama, those 4 years that they played, those guys, those guys are beat up every year because of the schedule that they play, no matter if the SEC is down or not. And I have agreed that it's been down for a couple of years now. because of the coaching is what I think is the reason it's down, because the coaching, they haven't evolved into the new spread offenses, to the new, you know, let's throw it every down kind of offense in college football. But when you're beat up every single week and you're going to these SEC stadiums where they're holding 90, 100,000 people and you're beat up, your first string is beat up, your second string is beat up. When you're Clemson and you're taking your starters out against the ACC opponents, by the middle of the second quarter, you don't get beat up as much. So when you play in Alabama at the end of the year, of course you're going to have somewhat of an advantage. I mean, it's just natural.
As a Bama guy, Gator Neil, hear me out here. I can buy some of what you're selling me. But last year, the closest Alabama was played inside the conference was a 24-0 shutout of Mississippi State, where, quite frankly, Mississippi State got screwed on a couple of calls. I'll admit that all day, but Clemson was challenged more in the ACC than Bama was during the SEC last year. Now, okay, it's a one-year snapshot.
Right, that's what I was going to say, Sturge. I agree with you last year, but let's be honest. First of all, Clemson beat Alabama by 4 touchdowns. That's no joke. That's nothing to just turn your head to. But Alabama did move the ball against Clemson inside the 20s. I mean, they were up and down the field. They just couldn't cash in on 3rd and 4th downs.
Yep.
Now, with that being said, Clemson still won the game by 4 touchdowns. Let's give them credit where credit's due. I'm not one of those people to say, oh, well, Alabama just didn't play good. Clemson played great because Clemson was flat out better. That's just the bottom line. Clemson was just better than Alabama last year. But I'm talking about on a normal year, with Florida State being down, with Virginia Tech being down, with NC State not being very good. Really, no one in the ACC has been good over the last 5 years. When you take a normal year, an average year, Clemson has an advantage over an Ohio State, over an Alabama, because those teams are beat up by the time people say, well, you have a month to get ready. A month does not heal the wounds that you endure throughout an 11, 12-game season through college football, where you're playing every week but one, especially in these conferences where there's 100,000 people. People don't get that. And I know you do, Sturge, because of your job, but when you have to go on the road and you play it in a stadium that carries 50,000, 55,000, as opposed to 110 in Tennessee.
No. I will tell you why. Virginia Tech's the loudest place I've ever been, Gator Neil. Hands down, 63,000. You can't convince me that Tennessee or anywhere else was louder than that Thursday night at Virginia Tech.
I'm not going to say louder. I'm talking about, and Virginia Tech is a great atmosphere. But if you go back throughout the history since Dabo took over, Clemson has struggled at Virginia Tech. Yeah, they've beaten them, but I remember a Thursday night game a couple of years ago that if their quarterback could throw a completed pass forward, they would have lost. I think it was 13-10, somewhere around there. Yeah, I agree. Virginia Tech is a hard stadium, and that's why I brought them up. But their talent level has not been the same over the last 5 years. You can't deny that.
You're talking apples, I'm talking oranges, and I appreciate it real quick because I'm against the break here. The reality is any football team that goes in and lets a stadium defeat them has a built-in excuse before they get to the field. If you're a good team, you don't pay attention to the crowd. You don't pay – you block it out, and you go do your job. And that's why a lot of people will actually tell you, Tyler – it's easier to go play a road game because you don't have to deal with family asking for tickets, this, that, and the other. Now, I did see Clemson go up to Virginia Tech about 11 years ago and lose a Thursday night game under Tommy Bowden 20-7, in which that team was tired from boredom. It was a Thursday night game. When we got to our hotel at 4 o'clock on Wednesday in Roanoke, they were already in the hotel. They did not leave that hotel until it was time to get on the buses to go over there on Thursday. They had killed energy just sitting around being bored. But I get where you're going there, Gator Neil. And, again, I'm ready to start seeing some results on the field because, as a Bama guy, I can't stand anybody making any kind of excuses,
Sturge,
for me.
Let's just put it this way. Never once – well, maybe not never once, but – not today. Coaches don't get to go out into the crowd and pull somebody into their depth chart. They don't get to go pull somebody who's fresh out of the crowd just so they can come out and make a tackle. So I'm sorry, Gator Neil, you're 100% wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Fans in the stands, outside of being loud and not being able to hear the snap count and maybe providing a little bit of momentum, fans don't mean anything. The number of fans in the stands means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I would actually say the worst situation I've ever played in was in front of no noise at the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind. Played a JV basketball game there, and it was the most bizarre situation because it's just something you weren't used to.
Well, Sturge, I've been to a game that actually got canceled or got postponed for about an hour and a half due to lightning and hail, and most of the fans left. I mean, all but probably 1,000 people left. We all funneled back into the stadium, and from there on, it was the sloppiest game I've ever seen because there's no energy, there's no juice. It feels like a practice.
Yeah. You play the teams on the other side, and again, 4 weeks off, I think that if anybody's nicked up or banged and bruised, you don't have that excuse 4 weeks later. Now, if you got a guy that you're missing because of a torn ACL or something, guess what? Ain't nothing happening in a four-week period. 844-GSP, ESPN. We'll take a look at some more of this as well. And, of course, give us your phone call at 844-GSP-ESPN. Things you shouldn't care about. All right, people. Number one, you can get in with us, 844-GSP-ESPN. Football season began officially today. SEC Media Days got underway. Big Ten's coming up. But things that you shouldn't quite care about, all right? This is the end up on Sports Illustrated tweeting it out just a minute ago. Keenan Allen is one of many NFL players who are none too pleased with their Madden ratings.
That's just that's absurd, literally absurd. You should be worrying about playing the real game.
You hit the nail on the head with your what you said during the break.
Well, with Keenan Allen, you should worry about staying healthy.
Exactly.
Not worrying about whether you're a 90 or a 95 or an 85 or whatever your ranking is. That's just ridiculous. I can't even believe
we went over in the I had a couple. I didn't want to go too far, but I mean, dude, is this like people? I couldn't tell you how many followers I had on Twitter. I couldn't tell you how many Facebook friends I got. I couldn't tell you. I have a 0.0, and no, Diesel, that's not the height listed on my driver's license, you know. But my point being, I'm not going to be upset or worried about what my Madden rating is. Now, if I'm the general manager of the Chargers, who I know Keenan Allen has missed a ton of games for, I'd be going, Keenan, why don't you worry about catching the ball and staying healthy than what Madden's video game says. Diesel, you're the gamer here on us. Is that rating on Madden that important?
I guess. I mean, to him it is. So, I mean, yeah, you can't downgrade something's importance because it's not important to you.
Okay, that's fair.
There's a whole lot of ego in that statement saying, because I don't care about it, it means it's not important.
That's right. You got it. I got the biggest.
Especially
one
from a guy as short as you.
Well, yeah. You know what his license does say, Diesel? It says vertically challenged on it.
Says cannot ride the roller coasters unless he's wearing his lifts.
Hey, I will put up on Wednesday from Orlando a picture of me beating the height requirement for that particular ride. But no, I mean, come on, guys. You see what I get it. There's a little bit of ego in Diesel. That's why I love you calling me out for something like that. But of all the battles that I'm going to pick right now, it's not going to be over my Madden rating where Sports Illustrated's out there like kind of making – because the irony here is – Keenan Allen has missed so many games with a variety of injuries, he's probably having points taken off of there because he's not available every week.
Yeah, he missed a whole season. Wasn't it the first game where he blew his ACL and he missed?
Madden is huge to these NFL players.
I guess so, because the NFL, speaking of the idiocy, let's just go ahead and do it. When we come back, they are floating a new proposal. This has to be – hey, man, hold my beer kind of moment, because we got NBA Summer League going on. They're in everybody's case. We just had the All-Star game. Next Thursday, we are opening up training camp in the NFL. But the NFL floated something here in the last few days. To me, it was such a big joke that when all is said and done, there ain't no way we're touching this. 18 for 16. We'll talk about that when we come back. 844-GSP-ESPN. All right, welcome back in. We're live at Smoke on the Water. We're getting ready to head to the phone lines. But we were talking about Keenan Allen. He's apparently one of many NFL players who are, quote-unquote, none too pleased with their Madden ratings. Now, people got to remember, Keenan Allen's from the Greensboro area, made his way out to California to play college football, and then stayed out there after being drafted by San Diego. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's get Tommy's opinion. Tommy, I hope you're doing well.
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I just obviously wanted to clarify. I mean, y'all making the guy kind of sound like a bum a little bit.
Oh,
but
he hadn't
missed a game. Hold on. He hadn't missed a game in the last 2 years. He's played 6 years in the league. His first 2 years, he missed three games. And then, yes, the next two years, three and four, were eight games. And then the year he got hurt in the first game. And then, again, the last 2 years, 16 and 16. It's not much about his Madden rating as opposed to, I was wanting to hit on, how does Keenan Allen get out of the South here and get all the way out to California? And he's clearly, hands down, the number one wide receiver for Phillip Rivers. And he's only 27 years old, and he's got a good four or five good years left in him. And he's got some really good stats for a six-year guy in the league. So just not as much about the rating, as much about the player, how he got away from here, and how this kind of happens more than it should for a guy in this area to get away from one of these schools in the ACC or SEC, for that matter, and get out to other schools.
Okay, that was the better part of a decade ago. I forget why Greensboro, but I think he wanted to go out there. Number two, we're saying that he's a top 10 wide receiver, but even when you said right there, he missed X amount of games this year, and then, of course, eight games the next season, and then the following year, the entire year. Well, there's a huge problem. Because
it was 2 years, not three.
Well, my problem being that's 20-something games. You're going to be held accountable for that, Tommy. If I miss that much work, they're going to get rid of me. But what happened with him, California had some recruits at quarterback, and he thought that it was going to benefit him. You know what I mean? And nobody's knocking Keenan Allen.
But, sir, when you come back, okay, you get hurt, you go down, and when you come back and you play every game for two straight years,
doesn't
which
matter
is what the role he's on, you don't get no credit for that. You're not giving him any credit for not missing a game the last 2 years and having 1,000-yard seasons.
We just said he's a top 10. Thank you for the phone call there, Tommy. We just said he's a top 10 wide receiver. But even though he's played two consecutive years, he's missed roughly 60% of his games. That's fact. Who's to say he's not going to roll an ankle coming up? You better get to about 5 years of that stuff before you start taking credit for playing back-to-back years. That's what he's hired to do. He is productive. But guess what? He's also worried about his freaking Madden rating, which makes me from the outside looking in go, ha, 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 things I'm not worried about. But have any of us not given him his credit for being a top 10 wide receiver?
Yeah, absolutely. He's
Phillip
Rivers.
He's
Phillip Rivers' number one wide receiver. And, yes, he has had two consecutive 1,000-yard receiving in a row. But the point is if I missed a whole year of work making that much money, right?
Yep.
What are your bosses going to say to you?
Number two, if your bosses are paying you on disability, they're going to have a question mark coming back of, is it going to happen again? We don't know. But I know this much, he's a top 10 wide receiver, but he's not a top three. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
So,
I mean, you got the Antonios, you got Odell, you got
Julio.
Those are your top three right there.
Yeah. So, he
arguably top five.
Arguably. But again, give me about two more years of not being hurt. No, you got to put DeAndre Hopkins in there.
Yeah. That's why I said arguably.
Top eight, which is good.
Yes.
Trust me. Go out to the smoking nightclub in New York City on a random Saturday night, and you come home with a top eight prospect, chances are it is really seriously talented.
Yeah. Unfortunately, those days are over for me.
Oh, of course, man. I'm a perfect gentleman and a perfect husband. But, no, I believe they had a, like, Austin Davis or somebody lined up at that point in time, and he was wanting to get out of the area. Sometimes it just happens. Also, 10 years ago, Clemson football hadn't turned the corner.
Nope.
North Carolina, you know, where were you really going? You had a real hot run coming out of Cal with Aaron Rodgers making his way to the NFL. Of course, if you remember, they had a really old stadium out there that they just did about, what, $66 million in renovation, only to find out it's sitting in direct – you know what's sitting directly on top?
Yeah.
A fault line.
Yep.
You best pray out there at some point that you never have a major earthquake in Cal Stadium when it's 55,000 people in there, because that might be the biggest tragedy that we've ever seen. No, Diesel, I kid you not. When they went through and did the renovations here 5 years ago, they discovered one of those fault lines goes literally right up underneath the stadium. So that could be a big time problem. Real quick, all right. So who's your real quickly? Who is your sleeper team in the Big Ten? We'll fill that out.
Yeah, sleeper team Big Ten. Honestly, Nebraska. I think
but
Nebraska.
Are they? With winning five of their last six and kind of maybe.
Yeah, but so when you think of the
I'm
Big Ten,
you.
But when we talk Big Ten, you talk Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State, right? So those every once in a while you can throw in Northwestern. The last time Nebraska was talked about having a team, top 25 team, was way back when Tom Osborne was the coach. So I think Nebraska is going to surprise a lot of people. I don't think they're on a lot of people's radars just because they haven't been that good. Yes, they won.
I like Adrian Martinez. He really came along. Scott Frost is a good coach.
I love Scott Frost.
I have a hard time thinking of Nebraska as a sleeper after all that time, but you might be right. I think it's a three-team race, possibly four, in that Big Ten West. Number one, don't turn your back on Northwestern. They get the Clemson five-star transfer in at quarterback, and then they
and
were
Pat
in the
Fitzgerald's
big,
always a good coach.
Iowa, Kirk Ferentz, pretty longest tenured coach in college football, fairly consistent. And then, of course, Paul Christ in Wisconsin are going to be there as well. All right. Diesel, real quickly, give us a quick rundown. I mean, App State, Georgia Southern, Arkansas State, and Louisiana Lafayette, are they the cream of the crop in the Sun Belt this year? And is there anybody looking like they can make a run?
Well, it all just depends. I mean, App State looks extremely strong to take the lead, probably again. Troy is a big question mark. I just don't know that much about Troy. I mean, Troy is loaded with talent. They had a phenomenal season last year. Georgia Southern, you know, if you're talking about a sleeper to come back and win it, not a sleeper to be good, I think Georgia Southern is a sleeper to come in and win it, because they are vastly improved from where they were under the Tyson Summers era. Georgia Southern could be a really strong team. Lafayette, I mean, they made it to the league title game last year. I don't know if you can really call somebody a sleeper when they made it to the league championship game the year before.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and Chad Lunsford's done a great job at Georgia Southern. I'm thinking maybe keep a little bit of an eye on Coastal in that Till field down there.
Are you serious?
But, yeah. No,
what are you talking about?
Hey, man, that's a sleeper.
They're a sleeper to win four games this year, Sturge.
They're
but that's
a sleeper
what I mean.
In the basement.
Louisiana Lafayette has played for titles.
So you don't mean sleeper, you mean long shot.
There you go. Okay. Sleeper
Big
to me.
Difference.
Yeah. Sleeper to me is a Wake Forest in the ACC. That would be my sleeper. All right. We'll come back. We'll continue this. Clemson football just gets three nominations for one of the National Player of the Year awards.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.